Today on Tax Justice Warriors, I am finishing up the series on the 2019 Kansas Tax Practitioner Symposium with presentations by the IRS. This episode will focus on the Taxpayer Advocate Service and field collection. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Turning to the Taxpayer Advocate Service, the presentation was by local taxpayer advocate Tracy Wilner. The Taxpayer Advocate Service is an independent organization within the IRS, providing free services to eligible taxpayers with offices in every state, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. They protect taxpayer rights by ensuring all taxpayers are treated fairly, and that they know and understand their rights under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. They help individuals, businesses, and exempt organizations. The Taxpayer Advocate Service gets involved, starting out by saying that most cases can and should be resolved through normal IRS channels, but they resolve cases that meet their acceptance criteria. So with their acceptance criteria, those are specific issues that if an individual is not receiving help through regular channels with the IRS, that if the case is taking too long, or if there are certain public policy cases, then they take those on as part of their acceptance criteria. With systemic advocacy, part of their mission is to recommend changes to prevent problems. They have an office of systemic advocacy that addresses large-scale problems affecting many taxpayers. Now, one way to bring systemic issues to the Taxpayer Advocate Service is SAMS, the Systemic Advocacy Management System. That is a web-based system to receive advocacy issues, ideas, and suggestions. It is for taxpayers and practitioners, as well as academic, research, and professional organizations, available at irs.gov/SAMS. Now, next, she highlighted two programs, and I got up and spoke about the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic program. Within the slide, it states that the LITCs represent low-income taxpayers who have a controversy with the IRS, including individuals who speak English as a second language. LITCs provide services for free or no more than a nominal fee. I'm not sure how many even charge, but as far as I know, it is free services available to qualified taxpayers. And I spoke that I wanted the tax preparers there to know that I have the only low-income taxpayer clinic program within the state of Kansas. It is free to qualified taxpayers, that if they are unable to help low-income taxpayers with tax controversies, then I can assist them. And I told them about publication 4134, that there were some Missouri tax professionals that I directed to the two clinics within Kansas City, Missouri. The Legal Aid of Western Missouri and the University of Missouri Kansas City Law School tax clinics. Next, Tracy introduced the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel, and Patrick Townsend came up to speak on behalf of that group, that they are a group of independent citizen volunteers. They are not IRS employees, but suggest ways to improve the IRS. You can contact the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel at 1-888-912-1227 or www.improveirs.org. I have told you that I have applied to be an alternate member of the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel. I have been told that I would hear in October, but Patrick was saying that he did not hear until into the next year, so that may be the case for me. I will just wait and see. Tracy took back over and talked about the taxpayer advocate Nina Olson's reports to Congress, so the annual report to Congress and objectives report to Congress. Those are submitted to Congress without the Department of Treasury or IRS review, that they're available at www.taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/reports, that Nina Olson's Field Year 2020 Objectives Report is available at taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/2020objectives report, all grouped together. Then turning to the Taxpayer Roadmap, that is at publication 5341, with the goal that it be interactive at a later point. Now, in the Field Year 2020 Objectives Report, there was a review of the 2019 filing season with the taxpayer experiences. There was the government shutdown. Tracy discussed interactions with the IRS through phone, correspondence, face-to-face meetings, and online access, and refund delays. There are 193 filters, 17 for fraud, but there were false detection rates of 82% previously, and the IRS has made improvements on those false detection rates that they are trying to improve so there are no more false detections. Selected returns claiming the Earned Income Tax Credit or ACTC, one filter with incorrect dollars, filter I. In 2018, detected 116,611. In 2019, detected 275,415. Filter X/J, where they could not verify the correct taxpayer, in 2018 was 365,673, increasing in 2019 to 1,045,051. Now, for taxpayers with those issues, they can contact the Taxpayer Assistance Center to schedule an appointment. Call 844-545-5640. Those are by appointment only. They do not accept walk-ins. For taxpayers with individual returns, W-2 availability through February 4th in 2018 was 101 million. In 2019, 219 million. Regarding the Affordable Care Act, the IRS will not accept tax returns silent on health care coverage. So an audience member stated that there is a follow-up letter to the client if someone does get something filed that way. There is an Affordable Care Act set of estimator tools. The Taxpayer Advocate Service created tools for estimating health care tax credits and payments, the Premium Tax Credit Change Estimator, the Small Business Health Care Tax Credit Estimator, and the Employer Shared Responsibility Provision Payment Estimator. Those are at taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/get-help/ACA. It takes 2 to 3 weeks to post those returns with the IRS, and now the penalty is removed regarding the Affordable Care Act. With the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, they implemented tax reform that was a major effort for field years 2018 and 19. It required the IRS to reprogram approximately 140 systems and create or revise about 450 forms, instructions, and publications, twice the number in a normal year. There was a penalty waiver for those taxpayers who had an estimated tax penalty. There wound up being a lower threshold. So January 16, that was at 85%, then March 22, 80%. So individuals whose estimated at 80% would not have a penalty. Now, potentially, they could file to get a refund using Form 843, Line 7, but under CF-21, they are potentially automatically getting a refund as it is, that potentially taxpayers do not have to do anything to receive a refund if they were charged a penalty and then that threshold has changed. One selected area of focus by the Taxpayer Advocate Service is the denial of child tax credit to certain religious groups, the Amish, that they are working on that issue. Another area of focus is private debt collection. that it continues to burden taxpayers, likely in economic hardships. Taxpayers who default on their installment agreements is at 28% with the private debt collectors, as opposed to 16% setting them up by other channels. The FAST Act came out in 2015, fixing America's surface transportation. So if a taxpayer has a seriously delinquent tax debt, which is over $50,000, it allows the State Department to revoke or limit a passport. Some exceptions are emergency or humanitarian circumstances, an installment agreement or offer in compromise, if collection due process is pending, or an innocent spouse request is pending. Notice of lien and their collection due process rights have been exhausted, or notice of levy. Generally, there are two forms of notice, and it takes 90 days to resolve. For more information on the Field Year 2020 Objectives Report, again, that is taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/2020objectives report. Some important reminders were made about ITIN applications. There is a new draft on the W-4 Taxpayer First Act was passed on July 1st. There is a tax toolkit available on the Taxpayer Advocate Service. There you can type in tax toolkit. If you want to contact the Taxpayer Advocate Service, go to taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/contact-us. Or there is often a blog from the National Taxpayer Advocate at taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/about/nta-blog. Next, there was a talk by Field Collections, so small business self-employment collections in the field. Locally, they have 11 revenue officers in Lee's Summit, Overland Park, and Topeka. The summary for Field Collection is that they are discussed resources, leadership areas of focus, field presence and financial interviews, regrowing expertise and pairing, and the priority on complex issue development, such as employment taxes, potential fraud, suits and seizures, marijuana industry cases, virtual currency, and passports. So for example, Field Collection resources, there has been a 47% decline of revenue officers from 2010 to 2018, from 4,068 officers to 2,159. That with less officers, then it is more difficult to meet the goals of compliance, education, and deterrence. Their leadership areas of focus are field presence, revenue officer, subject matter expertise, culture, managers as coaches, and embracing complex work. So they analyzed the field presence and financial interviews done by revenue officers, and that dipped down to 14% around 2014 and 15. And more recently, there's been a 38% increase, getting up to 19.5%. But when the individuals were putting 14% of field time, that was not even a day out of the week that they were spending in the field. Now, non-compliant taxpayers need face-to-face interaction, and she was saying that they are in the business of behavior modification, so this group, Field Collection, does do cold calls. They are regrowing expertise and pairing revenue officers, so they are hiring 750. They are doing a writing skills assessment for new hires, focusing on complex work earlier, pairing revenue officers in the field for unique or novel issues, form 4180 interviews, that is the TFR penalties. They're paired in the field for marijuana industry cases and potential safety concerns. The TFRP is trust fund recovery penalty. Those are $57 billion every year on average. So in this pairing of revenue officers, they try and get accurate financial information. 200 revenue officers were onboarded in April, that they were onboarding 400 more earlier this month across the country. With their writing skills assessment, since they are writing liens for counsel to take to judges for foreclosures, they now have this written skills assessment to make sure that they have those skills to do what is necessary for writing on the job. Regarding complex work earlier, when they're placed in their positions, it was at grade 9, now it is at grade 11. So they are trying to get them at proficiency in 3 years rather than 5 to 6. When revenues show up unannounced, then that goal is for deterrence. Regarding complex issues, there is a graph of U.S. revenue collected in 2017. 72% was from withholding, but the revenue collections focus on employment taxes. That was 32.9%. That again, the statement of $57 billion was owed to the IRS based on trust fund tax penalties or taxes and penalties. So 90% of United States funding comes from the IRS. That is why there is so much focus on these revenue collection issues, but enforcement is not the first resort. Regarding employment taxes, in 2018, there were 7 million taxpayers with federal tax deposit cases. So they do education and proactive compliance efforts using appropriate enforcement, levies, DETL, and seizures. Collaborative initiatives with the Department of Justice and IRS criminal investigations. There's been a huge increase in federal suits for injunctive relief. There are criminal referrals, potential pyramid schemes. So they try to reduce recidivism. And there is an increasing percentage of revenue officer assignments, mentioning a minimum of 600 hired, fewer but better officers. 61% of their high-impact work is businesses, 9,100 cases. Marijuana cases, 31 states have been legalized for medical, 9 states legalized for recreational, but it is an illegal industry under federal law. Ogden/Cole memos have been revoked. The impact is to be determined. It is a cash-intensive businesses. Businesses are unbanked, but to report it, it is receipts minus cost of goods sold. Federal deposits are waived. Turn to Internal Revenue Code Section 280E and collection. There is an application connected to offers in compromise, but non-installment agreements. If they do not have a collection or information statement, then the IRS will litigate on those cases. With virtual currency, that is an emerging area of expertise. It is treated as an asset. Declare it as an asset to revenue officers in interviews. Coinbase summons information is used. So last September, the IRS received John Doe letters regarding 11,000 virtual currency accounts. With harbor wallets, they can seize or levy. If they're levying, the date received is the value attached of the currency value. And turning to passports and collections role, the IRS certifies seriously delinquent debts. The State Department uses information. It requires the denial of a new or renewing passport. They are authorized to revoke or limit existing passports. Certain accounts are not certified. Accounts are decertified by the IRS when appropriate. So with current statistics, 45,200 of those revocations have been reversed because of exceptions. Out of that, 11,393 were because of being in a disaster zone, and around 9,000 or 20% were because of pending installment agreements. Now, overall, that was the last of the presentations I'm covering for the 2019 Kansas Tax Practitioner Symposium, sponsored by the Kansas chapter of the National Association of Tax Professionals. I hope you have learned some information from these presentations. I thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.